You never asked me to be king, build my tower up to the sky. So why do I try? You never asked me to be rich, buy the things that gold can buy. So why do I try? All you ever wanted was my heart, my simple heart. To you, that's all that really matters. Why do I feel I have to reach, believe I have to rise, when you never said I had to climb these broken ladders? You never asked me to be complete, by myself find all I need. So why do I try? Oh, you never asked me to stand alone, face the struggles on my own. So why do I try? When all broken ladders, 'cause all they do is take my eyes off of you, make me forget the truth. He's broken ladders. Oh, he's broken ladders.
You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
He's the one that reveals himself to people. Again, we're not God. We have no capability other than being willing to participate with him, because that's the only thing that's going to sway people, is when they see God in action. When they see God in action in the life of in the lives of people, of his people, it's going to impact them. But he doesn't even need the people. He's more than able to turn someone's heart himself.
It's written in the book, I think is it Peter, where it says, in the end times there will be those who will err from the way of truth, seeking after riches, and will therefore pierce themselves with many sorrows. You and I were talking about a certain evangelist the other day, and I don't want to go with this, because you know it's not for me to judge another man's possession, and everyone is the possession of God. I'm not their Lord. But you sounded like you're a little more forgiving than I've been in the past. In other words, how can that evangelist on TV know the Word of God so well, and yet we know he's given over to evil when they've got, you know, $50 million a year coming in, 5 jets, and you go, that guy, come on, you know, give me a break. But maybe God says, well, people have gotten saved under ministries that maybe were bogus. I don't know.
Whatever, well, and I want to clarify something that I said earlier in regards to what it is altar calls, right? Where you have people raise their hand. Yeah. And I have many friends that have been born again through an altar call.
It happens.
Of course.
But just saying, my wealthy friend from New York, he used to go through it. We'd go through where you pay the toll. And he'd go, do you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Just say this, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. He said, you just got born again and drive off.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
No.
God's not an easy catch. He said, you will find me if you seek me, when you seek me with all your heart. When I'm yelling at my ceiling for a half an hour, calling out to him, it was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when they're all said and done, he says, well, by the way, Red, you didn't choose me. I chose you.
Yeah, but the majority of the time, it's a misunderstanding of Scripture, right? Because the Scripture is very clear, and specifically if we have it in context, and also if we have it in the original, in the New Testament, in the original Greek. So commit to trust.
Yeah.
Let's
go back to the moment you're born again. You're born again in your bedroom. Okay. So you don't know anything. I remember I used to read the Bible before I had the holiness of God in me. I'd go, who begat who, and da, 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 da. I didn't understand any of it. After the born again, I all of a sudden, wow, I could see this. So what happens next? He's got to start working on you. Did you join a church group? Did your mom, probably the first person you called was your mom, right?
I did, yeah.
And what did you tell her?
Oh, I said, I think I'm going crazy with you. No, I didn't say that. I said, Mom, I don't really know what's happening to me. This was a week process, right?
Yeah.
So I said, I don't really know what's happening. She says, I'll come right over. And she introduced me to a local church there, and I started, going to the service, and one thing led to another. I ended up a few years later, and this is where my testimony and the racing comes in. I pretty much assumed that I wasn't going to be a professional racing driver. I assumed now that I had that I was a Christian, that I was going to be in some sort of, quotation marks, ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I'm going to Africa now, I guess.
So I went to Ecuador, and I went there. Went there for 4 months.
Doing what? As a missionary? Short-term missionary?
As a missionary. And then when I came back, I thought I was going to be a youth pastor. I just thought that was the path. And because, again, our this country is so programmed to box in God, to box in ministry, this is what it's supposed to look like.
Religion.
Yes. And so when I came back, that's what I assumed, right? Mm. My heart's desire was to race. I still...
And that didn't disappear?
It didn't disappear. So
shall give you the desires of your heart.
And so my college and career pastor he was the pastor that organized the entire mission trip that we did. When I came back, I had no money because I'd spent all my money to do this mission trip. I had probably $10,000 or $12,000 saved up so I didn't have to work when I was there. I could just do the mission stuff. But then when I came home, I had zero money. And instead of him getting really spiritual and theological, he was very practical. And he said, "So Terry, what's your biggest need?" And I said, "Well, I don't have a job." And he goes, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, I can't do what I want to do." He says, "What do you mean you can't do it?" I said, "What am I going to do? I have no money to race." He goes, "Well, what? Think of something within that industry that you can do."
And
I said, "Well, you know what? I went to a driving school. It was the only training that I've ever done. And my dad went with me, and it was an incredible experience. I could call out there." And he says, "Why don't you just take it one step at a time and try that?"
Yeah.
And so I called the school. And the chief instructor happened to be, at this point, my instructor. I had gone through 3 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
He was now the chief instructor. The school was in Northern California. They were building their own facility in Phoenix, Arizona. Half the coaches, the instructors, weren't going because they didn't want to move.
So he said, "We could use another teacher."
And he answers the phone, and he's my coach. And he goes, "Amazing. I remember who you are." I was like, I said, Chris Cook was his name. I said, "Do you remember?" He said, "I remember who you are." He said, "Listen, I'm calling out there thinking I'm going to paint lines on the racetrack. I'm just going to try to be there." I was, 21 years old. I had I had no ties, no responsibilities. And lo and behold, he says, "Look, if you'll move to Arizona," I was living in Florida. He said, "If you'll move to Arizona, I'll put you through every course we have." I said, I said, "Chris, I'm a go-kart racer. I've never even raced but one time. I can't be a coach. I can't work at a driving school." He's like, "I'll train you." He put me through $70,000 worth of driving courses. I learned at that job, I learned the business of racing. That's what I didn't know.
Yeah.
I had, as a go-kart racer, I had no idea what the business was.
Yeah.
But it's all these professionals are there.
You had a mentor.
I'm listening to their conversations with sponsors. I'm meeting Mario Andretti. I'm working for Bob Bondurant. You know, these are characters that are in like the Ford versus Ferrari movie that we all have watched,
right?
So now I'm in that environment, like in and God literally hand placed me there, so that I could learn the business of racing. And then guess what came out of that?
You became a minister.
I became a professional racer. Yeah. I became what my heart's desire was. And there's a catch to that scripture. It's not I'll give you the desires of your heart. It's when we submit ourselves to the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart.
But there's two ways to look at that, too. He'll give you the desires you have, or he can also implant desires within you to do what he wants you to do.
Absolutely.
There's two ways.
Absolutely. So I'm now on my way to being a professional racer, and now if you fast forward 30 years later, 7 professional driving championships. This came from a kid from Crystal River, Florida, that had no money. My last name.
Great place to go tubing, by the way.
My last name was Borcheller.
Nobody
in the racing community knew that name. I had nothing that made sense for me to be a professional racer.
Yeah.
I've won 7 professional driving championships. I've been to Le Mans 5 times.
I've won
the 24 Hours of Daytona 3 times. The 12 Hours of Sebring. I've won over 60 professional races. This is what God has done. It's been incredible. And here's the really cool part about my testimony.
Yeah.
When I became a believer, that literally within 3 months of being a believer, I was getting woke up every morning at the weirdest times, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just journaling. I'm writing down this, what seemed to be a ministry into professional racing communities, where I would have a chapel service. I would talk to people in the racing community about Christ. I would do a
You
Christian
were doing those things?
No.
Oh, these were things you were going to do.
I hadn't even raced professionally.
Yeah.
This was before I even got the job.
So it's almost like a prophecy.
I'm writing.
That's wild.
Well, here's how, this is where it gets really better.
Yeah.
With all the accomplishments I just gave you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is at that point now. I've got all of these accomplishments. In 2014, which is just a few years ago, I have a family call me and they say, Terry, Richard Anderson was the founder of Motorsports Ministries, the ministry that I'm now the president of.
Wow.
And their family called me and said, we would like for you to be the intern chaplain until we can figure out what to do with the ministry.
What happened to him? He died?
He died. He had esophageal cancer.
Wow.
2014. I said, you know what? I can't really do it because I'm racing professionally, and I don't know that my schedule is going to... Guess what? 2014 or 2015. I decided to be the intern chaplain for 2014, but I said, I'm not going to be able to do it for 2015. I had 25 years of nonstop employment in the professional racing community.
Wow.
2015, I get no job. I call him up. I'm like, I guess I don't have to worry about my schedule conflict. But here's the kicker.
God kind of opened that up.
Here's the kicker.
Yeah.
25 years earlier, never having raced professionally, not one championship, not one race won, other than go-karts.
Yeah.
I wrote down this entire ministry.